Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, we continue, of course, our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. Now, this powerful letter gives us some great truths, truths to help us as we grow, help us to be more and more like Christ. Now, we see some instructions, information dealing with sin, salvation, Christian life, Israel, the church, all of these different things. We're seeing God's love and God's plan for us. Now, think about it. In chapters 1, 2, and part of chapter 3, we saw the problem. We're sinners and we need a Savior. In chapters 3 and 4, we saw the solution to the problem. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and pay for our sins, and we are declared righteous and made righteous by faith in Christ. Then, as we move into chapter 5, we call this the results of salvation. And the key is peace with God, and we're going to talk more about that as we get into the passage. As we continue this morning, we're seeing the details of the results of salvation. And there's a number of things there. In fact, three things stand out. Just listen to this, and we'll get into it in a minute. We have peace with God because of salvation. We have peace with God, access to God, and the hope of God. We have peace with God. We're no longer His enemies. We have access to God. We stand by His grace. And we have the hope of God. And He's going to talk about the hope of God as far as Christ's return, the trials, and all those kind of things, God's power, and just so many things. There's a lot in just these few verses. We're only going to look at verses 1 through 5, but it is packed. There's so many things in these verses. We want to be encouraged as we realize all that God has done through us and done for us as we have trusted in Christ as Savior. Well, several years ago, there was a book written called Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. Truth is, we all wonder, why do bad things happen? I mean, why do things come into our lives? Philip Yancey wrote a book that says, Where's God When It Hurts? And then following that, James Dobson came out with a book entitled When God Doesn't Make Sense. All of these books are trying to work through the problems of trials, suffering, ups and downs in the life of the believer. And the truth is, we all have these problems. We all have ups and downs. We all have times when things go wrong, go bad, sad times, hurts, all of those things. Why does this happen? Well, as we continue in our study this morning, Paul's going to give some information concerning trials. In fact, he says one of the results of salvation is we can have hope in the trials of life because God is working. Even in the trials, the problems, the ups and the downs, He is working to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. It's pretty powerful. He calls it in this passage, he says we have proven character. And we'll talk more about that as we get into it. As we look at our passage this morning, we want to be encouraged even in the trials. There's a lot in this passage. Three things. That I talk about the results of salvation. Peace with God, access to God, and the hope of God in our lives. Well, let's begin. We're moving, of course, into this section that we're calling the results of salvation section. That's what we're calling it. Chapters 1, 2, and 3, the problem. We're all sinners. Chapters 3 and 4, the solution. God sent His Son to die for us, and by faith in Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Now we move to chapter 5. We call it the results. I've got an overhead for you, the one that we've been showing. Not that one. That's imputation. There it is. The peace. We're moving into this peace section. We're calling it that. Romans chapter 5, the results of salvation. And the first 11 verses, I've called it peace with God. There's much more there. We're going to see much more as we go through it. But the first 11 verses, we'll see part of that this morning, peace with God. And then later on in the passage, there's a powerful truth about how death came to all people by Adam. And we'll see that. The whole thing comes, life comes to men by faith in Jesus Christ. So we're talking about the results of salvation in our passage this morning. Let's look at it. I want to break it down for you. We're going to look at chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And here's what we're going to do. In verse 1, he talks about the result of salvation is that we have peace with God. And we'll talk about what that means. What is peace? Then second, in verse 2, he talks about having access to God. He says it sort of a different way. He says, we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. He's talking about we have access to God, and we'll talk about that. And then the third thing begins at the end of verse 2 and goes through verse 5. He talks about the hope that we have because of our salvation. And he's going to talk about three things: the return of Christ, trials in life, and loving one another with the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot in these little verses. Let me be honest with you. We could spend weeks just on verses 3, 4, and 5, because there's a lot there. But this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to go through verses 1 through 5. We'll go through it fairly quickly. I want to just put the whole thing together for you so that you can see how it fits together. Our goal, of course, is to be challenged and comforted from God's perfect word. Well, let's begin. We got a problem. We're sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. God has a solution. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. When we trust in Him as Savior, we have eternal life. We're justified by faith. The results of our salvation: peace with God, access to God, and the hope of God. That's what we'll see in these verses. Let's start. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he starts off with a therefore. Whenever you see that therefore, it's a summary statement. He's bringing together what he's talked to us about in chapter 2 and chapter 3. He's been talking about the fact that God has saved us through Jesus Christ, that when we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we have eternal life, and he's putting it all together. And he says, therefore, in summary about all I've talked about in chapter 3 and 4, just remember, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says being justified by faith is something we need to stop and think about again. We've seen this over and over and over and over, but never take it for granted. Salvation is always by faith. We are saved when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. It's not good works. It's not that we say we're going to go to church or live a good life or try to keep the Ten Commandments or get baptized or give money or anything. We are not saved by what we do. We are saved by believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's why he says, therefore, having been justified by faith. That's the key. Justification means to be declared righteous by God. Romans 3:28, which we saw back a couple of chapters ago, said that we're not justified by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. 154 places in the New Testament. Now, many of you, if you've been to Countryside for any length of time, you've heard me say this a lot of times. 154 places just in the New Testament, it says you're saved by faith. People get confused, and I talk to people sometimes on a weekly basis, and we talk about salvation. I'll say, are you going to heaven? And they'll say, yes, I think I am. I say, how come? And they say, because I've tried to live a good life, or I've done good things, or I've tried to do what's best. And the bottom line is, we can try all we want to. We're sinners and falling short of God's glory. Salvation is not about what we do. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why he says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Salvation comes by faith. And now, he says, having been justified by faith, there's some results. Three things. We have peace. We have access. We have hope. Look at the first one. Let's look at peace. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Having been justified by faith, we have peace. The result of salvation is peace with God. Now, peace means harmony and fellowship. And something we need to realize, and it's a truth that we don't always like to think about, before we trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we were enemies of God. And we were going our own way. The Bible says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one our own way. We're doing our own thing. Romans 3 says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one that seeks after God. Before we came to know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're in rebellion against God. We're doing our own thing. I want you to understand, God's not our enemy. We're God's enemy. We're the ones that moved away. Go all the way back to the garden. When Adam and Eve sinned, they moved away. They ran. They hid. It was God who came looking for them. And the truth is, it's God who comes looking for us. Romans chapter 3 says, there's none who seeks after God. We're the enemy of God. And he comes after us because he loves us more than we could imagine. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace with God means we've been brought back into fellowship and a relationship with him. And it comes by faith. Now, let's talk about peace for a second. There are two kinds of peace in the Bible. I mentioned it last week right at the end of the message. There are two kinds of peace. There's peace with God and peace of God. And they're two different things. Sometimes when you read the Bible, when you see the word peace, make sure you look at what it's saying. Is it saying peace with God or peace of God? Now, peace with God has to do with salvation. It has to do with our relationship. Peace of God has to do with our Christian life and has to do with our fellowship. So one deals with salvation, the other deals with Christian life. Peace with God deals with salvation. Peace of God deals with Christian life. Now, let's talk about peace with God, because in this passage, he says we have peace with God. He's talking about our salvation. When we trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, we have peace with God. Now, God brings us to himself. Now, listen to this. In his love, his grace, and his mercy, he brings us to himself. Now, those three words are powerful because it is the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His love that motivates, his grace, getting what we don't deserve. It is by grace we have been saved through faith. And then mercy. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, not by works of righteousness we've done, but according to his mercy, he saves us. In God's love and grace and mercy, he brought us to himself. We who, like sheep, have gone astray, doing our own thing, God in his grace, love, and mercy reaches out and reconciles us. That's the term the Bible used. Reconciles us to himself so we can have peace with God, because we were enemies. I want you to see something. Hold your place in Romans chapter 5. Flip over just a couple of pages on toward the back of your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You've got Romans and then 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to see this. We'll start at verse 17. I'm going to go very, very quickly through this, but I want you to see how it fits together. God brings us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. So, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 17. If you don't have a Bible, usually there's some underneath the chairs. But here he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, new things have come. Now watch. All these things are from God. Here's the key. Who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It is God who reconciled us to Himself. Notice it wasn't God reconciled to us. It's us reconciled to God, because we're the ones that have run away. We're the ones the enemy of God. But in God's love, grace, and mercy, He brings us to Himself to have peace with God. Notice verse 18, he goes on, and verse 19, he goes on to explain it. Namely, God was in Christ. God was using Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses, not counting their sins against them. He's committed to us the word of reconciliation. What we realize that God in His grace, love, and mercy has brought us to Himself so there can be peace with God. Go back to Romans chapter 5 and notice what he says. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, remember I said there are two kinds of peace. There's peace with God. Peace of God deals with the Christian life. Peace of God is the peace of God coming out in your life, and that's in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And that's the peace of God that comes out in your life as a Christian when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, this passage is talking about peace with God, and that's the salvation. And he says, having been justified by faith, when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior by faith, we have peace with God. He brings us back. Notice the end of the verse, through our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. That's sort of his title and his name all put together. The word Lord, of course, literally means deity. It's the Greek word kurios, and it means the master. It means he's deity. He's God. Jesus is his personal name. It means Jehovah's Savior. That's literally means Savior. So he is God who is the Savior. And the last word, the word Christ, means the anointed one of God. It's the same as Messiah. Mashiach is Old Testament. Christos is New Testament. One's Hebrew, one's Greek. They both mean the same thing. They mean the anointed one of God. So it says, we've been brought into peace with God. How? Through God, Savior, the anointed one. That's Jesus, and that's who it is. And so he says, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, no longer enemies. The word peace literally means to bind together. Do you realize you have an eternal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? You will always have peace with God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. Now, there's more, because there's a second aspect of the result of our salvation, and that second thing is we have access to God. Notice verse 2, through whom, through Jesus, also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. Now, that's a long way to say, because the word introduction literally means access. He says, through Jesus, we have obtained our access to God. That's what he's saying, our access by faith into the grace in which we stand. It is through Jesus that we get to go to God. Now, there's no other way to go to God except through Jesus Christ. He's the access to God. You remember where he said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he says, there's no other name given under heaven whereby we might be saved except Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a world that says, listen, Christians, we can say Jesus is our way, and everybody else has got their way, and there's just all these kind of ways to God. The answer is no, there is not. There's only one way to God. That is Jesus Christ. The only way you can have access to the living God is Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no possible way to come to Him other than that. No possible way. And Jesus, it says here, and through whom we have obtained our introduction into, by faith, into this grace in which we stand. When we trust Jesus Christ as Savior, we can come directly to God. Now, in the Old Testament, I want you to realize that there was a symbol there. They had this tabernacle, they had a front room and a back room, and in between the front room and the back room was this veil. Nobody could go in the back room. High priest only once a year, but the average person, what it was showing that the way to God was stopped. They did not have access to God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid for sin, on the day that he died, the veil in the temple was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, signifying that the way was now open to God. Any human being now can have access to the living God through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father except through him. That's why Hebrews says we can come boldly unto the throne of grace, because Jesus Christ has gone before us. So every one of us in this room, you have access to the living God because you have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's why when we do a prayer, at the end we say, in Jesus' name we pray. That's not just to let us know we're through. It's to say to God, the way we are approaching you, we offer this prayer and we lift this prayer up in the name of Jesus Christ, because he's the only access we have to the living God. And that's why it says, as a result of salvation, we have attained our access, our introduction, notice, by faith into this grace in which we stand. It is always by faith. It is always by grace. The only way you can approach the living God is come to him by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 is by grace we have been saved through faith. It's always the same way. You cannot come to God any other way except grace through faith. And so he says, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. You can come boldly. Every day, moment by moment, you have complete access to the living God because of Jesus Christ. As a result of your faith in Christ, you have peace with God. You've been brought back. You have access to God anytime. There's the third thing. And we've been using the word hope. Notice the end of verse 2 says, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And he goes on and talks about hope and some other things. Hope is the third thing we're going to see. As a result of salvation, we have peace, we have access, and we have hope. Now, when we say hope, in English we say hope like, I hope I get to go. We don't know for sure if we're going, we just hope we get to go. In the Bible, the word hope, the word is elpis, it means an eager anticipation. It's not a doubt at all. It's for sure. And when he says the hope of the glory of God, or the hope of something in trials, or the hope of this, he's not talking about like I hope it's going to happen. It is for sure. And this is as a result of our salvation, we have this hope. Notice what he says, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation. And he goes on, and there are three things dealing with the hope in this passage. Look at them. Into verse 2, it has to do with the return of Jesus Christ. He says, we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. The second thing is verses 3 and 4. He talks about our hope in trials and tribulations. We'll talk about it. And then verse 5, the hope, talking about the Holy Spirit and the love that we have from the Holy Spirit. So three things: return to Christ, trials, and loving others. Let's see those three things dealing with hope. Here's the first one, the hope concerning the return of Christ. Into verse 2 says, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. We might even say it this way, we praise God in the eager anticipation of the return of Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. When he talks about the glory of God, he's dealing with his return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says, we're looking for the blessed hope and the glorious returning of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about it. There'll be a trumpet and the sound, the trumpet of God and the voice and the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him. One of these days, it could be any second, Jesus Christ is going to come, and he's going to come in the clouds, and every one of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior will be caught up just like that, the glory of God. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of our Lord, of the glory of our God. He could come at any second. But also the Bible tells us that there's a time that he's going to come to the earth. That's later on. We'll come with him. He comes as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he comes in all his glory there as well. And he comes to rule in righteousness and justice. So when we think about, he says here, we exalt, we praise in the hope, the anticipation of the glory of God. One of these days, it could be any second, Jesus Christ is going to come and we're going to see his glory. And we have that hope. And because of our salvation, not only do we have peace with God, not only do we have access to God, but we have the hope, the anticipation of seeing the glory of God. There's more connected with the hope. There's a second thing. and that's dealing with trials. And the second thing actually is we in the trials, we have the hope that we're becoming like Jesus Christ. Notice what he says, verse 3. And not only this, but we also exalt, we praise in our tribulations. Now, do you praise in your tribulations? Do you say, oh boy, thank you for the tribulations. Thank you. See, tribulation, the Greek word literally means a tight spot. It means that things are pushing in on you, the problems and the sufferings of life. He says, because of this hope and because of our salvation, we have this hope that in the trials and tribulations of life, what's going to happen? Notice what he says. And not only this, we exalt in the tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, the word perseverance means trusting. It's a Greek word that means to remain under the load. That means that when the things come, you trust God. That's what it's talking about. In James chapter 1, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith works patience. When trials come into your life, it causes us to trust God. Now, let's face it. When things are going great, sometimes we don't even need Him. Things are going great. That's what we think. But just let something happen, you go, oh, Lord, oh, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. I'm thinking about you now, Lord. I need you. When the trials come in life, it causes us to trust Him. But there's more. Watch what happens. He says, tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character. Proven character literally means maturity. It means that as you continue to trust God in the midst of the trials, you're going to become more and more like Jesus Christ. We have the hope of the fact that trials are producing in us Christ-likeness, that we're going to become more and more like Jesus as we go through life. That's the plan, and that's what he says. He says, in perseverance, proven character. And proven character, even hope. He goes back to the same thing. You know, when trials come in your life, you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to trust God or you're going to turn away from God. It happens every time. Now, what the plan is and what he says is, here's our hope, here's our anticipation that when the trials come, we will trust God and we'll become more and more like Jesus Christ. When that word there, when it says proven character, it's a Greek word, dokimos. Now let me tell you, if you've seen some of our youth, some of our junior high, middle school, high schoolers, they got some gym shorts. And on some of them, they got written down the side in Greek, dokimos. And sometimes on the back, they got dokimos. And that's the Greek word that means proven character. It means approved by God. What he's saying here is when the trials come into your life and you trust God, he approves you. It's like he's saying, I'm making you more like Jesus. We grow and mature as believers. That's our hope. And we have that hope because we trusted in Jesus Christ. He says, we trusted in Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. We trusted in Jesus Christ, we have access to God. We trusted in Jesus Christ, we have the hope as we look for his return. We have the hope that in the midst of trials of life, we're becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this question. How do you respond when the trials come? Do we trust Him and become dokimos, approved, proven character? Or do we turn away? The plan, as one who belongs to Jesus Christ, is to trust Him because tribulation works patience and patience works proven character. And there's one other thing that he's going to get. We're going to see it in verse 5. The third aspect of the hope is this hope that we can show love to one another. Notice verse 5. Hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The third aspect of hope is that God has poured out in our hearts His love through the Holy Spirit. That means each one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, we can have the love of God in our lives. 1 John chapter 4 says, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And the only way it's possible for you to love other people is through the power of the Holy Spirit who's inside of us. Now let's face it, naturally, we don't love others. We love ourselves. We go through life saying, what's in it for me? How can I take care of me? Don't anybody bother me and don't mess with my stuff. But when you have the love of Jesus Christ in you and the power of the Holy Spirit, who the love of God is shed abroad, is poured out in your hearts through the Holy Spirit, then you can love other people as God loves you. And you can do Philippians where it says, don't look out so much for the needs of yourself. Look out for the needs of others. And we have, because we have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, we have that hope that the love of God has been poured out in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Notice what he says here. He says, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. We got God's love in us. How? Through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now, think about the Holy Spirit. We've done whole studies on the Holy Spirit, so just think about it for a second. Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? And number two, what's his plan? Number one, Holy Spirit, it's God. The Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Acts chapter 5 talks about him being God. He's the third member of the Godhead or the Trinity. What's his plan? God's plan is that he sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of every believer. Every one of us in the room who have trusted in Christ have God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, what do you not know? Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you. Now the plan is this. The Holy Spirit is the power for you to love other people as God wants you to love them. That's why it says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The Holy Spirit was given to do a lot of things, given us the power to serve and to understand the Scripture. But one thing that he tells right here, the Holy Spirit was given so that we can love other people. We have the hope that we can show God's love to other people through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. The results of salvation, peace, access, hope. Hope in the return of Christ. Hope in trials because it's making us like Christ. Hope in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can show God's love. There's so much that we've seen in this passage. First of all, we saw that we're justified by faith in Christ. We've seen the result of salvation by faith are that we have peace with God. We're no longer enemies. We have access to God. By grace, through faith, we come to God. And we have the hope of God dealing with Christ's return, the trials of life, and love by the Holy Spirit. It's pretty powerful. Now, let me give you some applications. Here's the first one. Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. That's what chapter 5, verse 1 tells us, having been justified by faith. Salvation is always by faith. We are declared righteous by faith. It is not by works. It is not by goodness. I hope and pray that every one of you in this room, if somebody were to come to you and say, do you think you're going to heaven? I hope every one of you in this room would say, yes, I know I'm going to heaven. And if they said why, you would say, I have trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm dependent on Jesus Christ to give me eternal life. He has promised me life, and I've trusted in him and him alone. It is not going to church. It is not being good. It is not living a good life. It is not living a faithful life. It is not one thing you could ever do. Salvation is a gift to you. It is by grace. You have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. If there's one person in this room who has never understood this, I pray right now, where you're sitting, this is an invitation to you that you can believe in Jesus Christ right where you're sitting. You can trust in him and him alone for eternal life. Just say, Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me, and I believe he gives me eternal life, and I'm trusting in him and him alone. That's it. You are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's salvation. It's always that way. There's a second application, and that is this. Understand the results of our salvation in Christ. Understand what we have. There are three things, and I have them here. I think there's A. The first thing, understand that we have peace with God. We were enemies. Now we got peace with God. Now we're children of God. We've been brought back into relationship. At one time, we were going our own way, and we were the enemies of God, and now we're with him. We've got an eternal relationship with him, and we're his child. So that's the first aspect. Second thing is we have access to God. You can come boldly into the throne of grace. Where you couldn't approach God, now you can come to him anytime, any place, anywhere, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and you have total access to God. And the third thing is we have the hope of God. And the hope of God in this passage were three things. We look for his return because one of these days we're going to see the glory of God when Jesus Christ comes. We know that in the trials of life, that when we trust God, it's going to make us more and more like Jesus. And that last part there is we know that we have the love of God that can be poured out through the power of the Holy Spirit. So here's some questions. Are you looking for the return of Christ? Are you growing to be more and more like Christ? And are you showing God's love in the power of the Holy Spirit? That's the hope. We may not know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future, and that's our Savior. By faith in Jesus Christ, We have peace with God, access to God, and the hope of God as we look for the return of Christ, grow in trials, and love others in God's power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this passage. There's so much here. First of all, Lord, we thank you that salvation is simply a gift. It's by faith. And Lord, I pray if there's even one person in this room who's never trusted Christ, right now, they'll just trust Him. Right now, they'll put their faith in Him as Savior, and they'll have eternal life. They'll be justified by faith. And the Lord, having been justified by faith, we have peace with you. We have access to you. We have the hope that you give us. And Lord, may we understand all that we have, that we were enemies, now we're children, that now we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And Lord, thank you for the hope as we look for the return of Jesus Christ, as we trust you in the trials, knowing that you're making us more and more like Christ, and that we have your love that we can show through the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this passage. Thank you for all that you have given to us. May we tell others, and may we go into this community with the good news message. Thank you, Lord, that we're justified by faith. We have peace, access, and hope. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.